We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure as crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
May I do a role play to bring us in?
Oh, God, I'd love that. And thank you for asking.
I guess for this one, we have to kind of set the scene.
Okay.
I am like an old man, really well-dressed in the back of my town car.
Okay.
And it's the kind of town car where it's not like a limo. Mm-hmm. It's just like an old, sturdy English car. But it's the kind of town car where it's like the seats are sort of facing one another in the back. Like I could have like meetings with dignitaries back there if I want.
Oh, very cool. You know? Do you have a cane and a top hat?
I imagine.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe in the trunk.
And a cape with tails, like a waistcoat with tails.
I wouldn't be wearing that in the car.
Okay.
I want you to take this seriously.
I am. I'm trying to set the scene.
Tails and waistcoats in the car.
No, okay. You're right. Okay. A monocle?
Sure. I don't. Okay. I use it for reading, you know.
Yeah,
like,
okay. All right.
And maybe I am. Yeah, I'm sitting there. I'm eating like it's tea time, but okay. I need to be on the road. I'm off to an important meeting with the dignitary.
Okay.
I'm looking at the stock sheet in the newspaper and the betting sheet too.
Okay.
Don't mind me saying.
Yeah.
My chauffeur is bringing me somewhere.
Okay.
I look down and I see that my toast is like dry and lacking like something flavorful, but okay. Like.
Am I in this role play? Just wait. Okay, yeah.
I look up and I see that coming down the country lane is another like fancy car.
Okay.
And I pull over. I signal to pull you over. And I
oh, it's me.
It's you.
Roll down the window.
You're also a rich old man.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, great. Oh, that's great. Okay, wonderful. Are we British?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I say, "Pardon me, sir."
Yeah.
Do you have a Sony Pictures classic for me to watch today?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I ask a couple questions before say what my character says?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Question one. I think, so I've seen the Grey Poupon commercials.
Yeah.
From the 90s. Classic.
Classic 90s commercial Grey Poupon.
And I think if memory serves, they roll down the window. They say, "Pardon me, sir, do you have any Grey Poupon?"
I will and quickly then, just jump in to say I haven't rewatched the Grey Poupon commercials since it was popular in the 90s.
Yeah.
Before I committed to this role play,
I haven't either. But this is what my memory tells me is that the people in the other car, their response is that they just look at the person in bafflement. They like don't say anything, and they're not necessarily also British. They're just like surprised commuters. So I in this?
That's kind of what you did to me, though.
In this role play, I'm like, it's a non-speaking part. I don't get SAG fees for it.
Well, here's the thing. I think it's a non-speaking part. It is a speaking show because it's an audio medium.
So I should say, and
so I think it's your kind of creative challenge, Jack.
Yeah,
to
know what to say.
Three things.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, you are surprised that we're watching a haughty Sony Pictures classic on our romance podcast.
That's like Criterion Collection. It's Sony's version of the Criterion Collection.
Yeah.
Sony has designated given this
that's
like
art
classic
shit,
status.
You know? It's got prestige stink on it.
Okay, it's like a commemorative coin.
Exactly.
Okay,
but
yeah.
But like for millennials.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, so I'm conveying that. I'm surprised.
Does my guy that I'm asking for that.
He doesn't
have to
have
convey
that
you are not a posh British man.
Right.
I'm sorry that I set you up. I misread the script.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm not, I'm just a regular
in like a
American commuter. In like
this,
a,
is
yes.
like, this is like, Santa Monica, you know, like somewhere like obviously suburban America.
Okay,
what's
so
this
I'm
English town.
What's
car
this
doing
English
here?
Town
it's starting
car doing?
To come back to me.
Got it. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's that. So okay.
And then the third thing is What was the other little stink you raised a minute ago? I had a rebuttal for it.
That it's non-speaking, but it sounds like that's something I'll just have to
That's
figure out myself. Okay, I've got it. So I want to convey that I'm surprised that about you, and that I'm surprised about what you're asking. The surprise that Jesse and Celeste Forever, that's the movie we're watching.
Have to be American.
Has been designated. Okay, great. All right.
And you have to speak.
Okay, I can do this.
So back to the role play.
Yeah, okay.
Pardon me, sir. Do you have a Sony Pictures classic for me to watch today?
What?
Yeah, it's
good.
It's like a art house film that we watched.
Yeah, it's an art house film.
Yeah, I put on my little beret.
Yeah,
and I made my little espresso.
Speaking of British, I'm about to dip a biscuit in some tea so that I can eat it soggy.
Ish. What kind of biscuit? It's a cookie. It's an Oreo.
Yeah, that's what we call them in my country.
Can't just make up new names for things.
That was really great. I love that. Thank you so much. And it sounds like you were saying before that you've got another killer bit for us that we can. Let me see. Let me just check my text here.
What did I say? Oh, I thought we were going to leave that one on the cutting room floor.
That we can like. You said you think we can get a lot of mileage out of calling this Celeste and Jeffy forever. Jeffy, of course, being one of the children from
Family Circus.
Family Circus, who says, like, I didn't do it or something.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. I think that between those two things, we don't need to have any, like, prepared material for that.
Jamie gave that one sort of the red light. I didn't really develop it further. So I would hate to, like, hang our hat on that one. But I think we can push the posh guys a little further if we wanted.
Okay. Well, maybe it turns out one of them's into Family Circus. You know, and it'll just kind of come in naturally.
You, Jack, made us watch. You know what? I ask so little of you.
Yeah.
Here's what I ask of you. Don't eat and drink on the podcast.
Yeah.
That's the first one. Second one. When we indulge and do
big action movie, sci-fi,
films
aliens,
that are lighter on the romance.
Absolutely not even a romantic interest. Yeah.
We should go back to our old rule, two for them, one for us, you know? Yeah. Let's find a good, hearty, solid
romance.
Feel good romance to sink our teeth into and just lose ourselves in, you know? Yeah. You give me Sony Pictures Classic. I see that big, beautiful blue screen come up. I think, okay, that's okay. This is going to be, I'm going to have to, like, you know, put my phone down.
Yeah, you go, what?
Pay attention to this one.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a thinker.
Yeah.
But, Jack, my question for you is,
Is it a romance?
Vampires, BDSM, a cat dies, but is it a romance?
No.
Three criteria. No. Does a pet die?
Basically, my heart, if you think about my heart as being like the pet of my torso,
She make a joke about getting rid of a pet at some point?
You just want to leave that hanging there.
Does she? Maybe a pet does die.
No, I don't think so. I think I'd really have been upset if a pet died.
Yeah.
I'd notice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think, as we've known before, you know, like, a pet not dying is how we were able to kind of, frankly, trick our listeners into believing that Event Horizon was a romance, which I'll admit now it's fucking not. So, like,
what are you talking about? Of course it is. God, there's so few rules. We only remember two of them. TBD on whether a pet died in this one. Do they end up happily ever after? No.
Spoilers for Celeste and Jesse Forever. No, it's a false
sad
advertising
movie. It's about divorce, and it's actually super sad. It's about self-actualization, and that's good, and I like that, but it's a sad movie about
divorce for the romance
podcast. And I asked you one thing, Jack.
Yeah.
Give me something chewy, meaty romance to sink my teeth into, and you give me like a piece of burnt toast with Grey Poupon on it. And it's fine. I like it.
Who's so in this? They're having mustard on toast
in the original.
I think it's something else. I think it's like a hamburger.
Here we're gonna go.
No,
here we're gonna go.
I feel like people can.
Can you
look
let
it
me
up.
Share my screen?
I guess. I don't like to. Let's see. Advanced sharing options.
I think if we're going to keep, like, I think if we're going to keep existing in this, ooh, 81. This is
81
before my time.
Wait, really? Why do I remember it as part of my childhood? Maybe it just had a long run.
I think back then there was just, like, less media. So it was like when something really
Everyone
hit,
was, like,
was, like,
still talking
we're gonna
about
talk
it
about
in,
this
like,
for
88.
Like, 20 years. Well, whatever. What year is it now? 2023.
I mean, do you think there are some listeners
32 years later
literally have no idea what we're talking
42.
About? Is that possible? Wow.
That's why we're going to go through this exercise now.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it will help us immerse ourselves in the
lore
characters.
Of this episode. Oh, the characters. And so I'm the crass American.
Yeah,
I mean, what a role reversal for us. You know? What a role reversal for us. I'm the crass, cultureless American.
The finer things in life.
Okay.
Happily,
whoa, that's pretty loud.
Are affordable, like Grey Poupon Dijon mustard.
The Grey Poupon chauffeur has Grey Poupon.
Made with white wine.
He hands it back. The guy is having it on his beef, on his steak.
Oh, he's like eating eggs in the back of his. Well, wow. So enjoy. One oh yeah, he's eating like a meatloaf.
Pardon me.
Oh,
no, it is a rich, another rich man.
But of course.
Grey Poupon. It even has wine.
So we did
it's
this completely
basic.
Wrong. We did this completely wrong. They're both like on the same page about
Grey Poupon. Yeah, it's two
Grey
rich
Poupon.
Men.
Okay.
Now look at this one. Grey Poupon original commercial. This feels more right to me.
Okay.
This is it.
Are you sure?
Is that Emperor Palpatine?
Pardon me. Would you have any Grey Poupon?
But of course.
Oh, so I'm supposed to say, but of course.
Oh, that
but
one's...
But then he doesn't give
Grey
it to
Poupon.
Him.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of life's finer pleasures.
That's better. Okay. Better joke.
All right, turn it off. I don't want any more
Let's
Grey
watch
Poupon.
The sequel.
Again, okay, fine.
We gotta see the sequel. And then we're done. And then I feel like I'm immersed.
Pardon me.
What we've learned is that...
I'm Method. Poupon. I'm like Leto. Oh,
it's two recurring characters.
Hey, shut up.
Pull forward, please. Reverse. Go forward. No. Reverse.
So,
he's not trying very hard.
They're now at least trying to give each other the Grey Poupon, but they're having trouble, like, organizing their cars.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
brutal.
Okay, they dropped the Grey Poupon. Okay, I can't keep watching this. I have to stop. But here's my issue. The characters, like, in the first commercial, the guy, they're both British guys, so I really fucked that up. I screwed the pooch. I should have said, but of course. That's the answer when you ask me about whether I have a Sony classic. Yep. The first time, the guy is like, yes, I do, but of course, and then he just, like, leaves. So he's like, fuck, basically saying, fuck you in British.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then the second time, it's the same guys, and he's like, yeah, of course, and he, like,
makes sort of a half-hearted attempt at giving him the
tries to give it to him, and like the cars won't align right, and they keep pulling forward and backward, and then the Grey Poupon is lost in the shuffle. But it's like, which is first chronologically? It makes sense. I don't know the whole thing.
These are the issues we have to live with while we're aristocratic.
Oh, right, we both are.
Art house cinema consumers while we're watching the non-romance.
Not a romance.
Dramedy.
Guys. So, spoilers for this movie. It's like, it
Jesse,
feels like a romance
Jeff,
the whole way through.
Celeste and Jeffy forever.
Celeste and Jeffy from Family Circus.
There's no other legs on that, you know?
Well, if we can remember what Jeffy says, I think he says, like, remember their whole thing in Family Circus is like, there's like an entity called Wasn't Me. That's the main thing. I think once... Who writes Family Circus?
I don't know. Let me look. Let me go back. This is. I'm on an unreliable site. Let me go back.
Man. It sucks when you have the wheel of Google, which is always the case.
Bill, which only has one L.
Yeah.
Bill, how do you pronounce
just
that?
Bill. Just say Bill.
Bile? Bill?
Bill.
Bolt. And Jeff Keane. Oh, from...
Keane.
Keane.
Yeah. What Bill and Jeff Keane.
Let me give you Jeffy's bio on the official website.
The
as
thing
the
is,
third child, Jeffy looks up to Billy and Dolly and relishes his role as PJ's big brother.
Yeah. Okay, full that stop. Doesn't help. The thing about Family Circus, the only thing that has remained with us, much like the Grey Poupon commercials, is that at some point, Bill Keane hit on the notion that what if Wasn't Me was a actual like mischievous person. And then every single Family Circus episode Jeffy,
let me stop you
being asked like who spilled the ketchup.
You're talking
and
out
he
of your
says,
ass.
Wasn't me. And then we see like wasn't
you're talking
me.
Talking out of your ass. Yes, what? Jeffy is the iconic pioneer who brought us like the dotted line like yeah. comic strip in Family Circus. That's Jeffy. It mostly happens in his dreams, I think, from what I'm reading on this AV article or okay. NPR article. Two, they're invisible gremlins, and yes, they are part of the sort of shared fever dream of, I think, Jeffy and...
the parents.
I think everyone, maybe.
Yeah, everyone's
into it.
There's
like a gas leak in the house.
Yeah, and they're called Wasn't Me and like Didn't Do It or something.
Not Me and Ida No.
There we go. That's
invisible
so
gremlins is how NPR.org describes them.
Yeah, so this is a rich lore. I don't know what Jamie was talking about. We've just got so much to play with here.
Yeah, the movie's, I think...
sad.
It's sort of a reaction to like a pretty sad movie about like two people who are in love, but like don't like just keep missing one another and then don't end up together.
I want to say it for listeners because the thing that is, if you haven't watched it, it like it reads as a rom-com 95% of the way through.
Oh, and it's very fun, funny and charming.
And it's like they're funny and
very
charming.
Sad.
And then it's just like, it's kind of sad if you're rooting for them to get together. Like they're fine. Just with other people.
Yeah, I guess.
Do you want to do a quick Hobbit check?
Hobbit check. Yes, let's do it.
Welcome to Rivendell. Frodo Baggins.
You were not so very different from a hobbit once.
It's wonderful to see you, Gandalf.
This is our hit segment called Hobbit Check, where we check
oh,
to see
there
if there's
Chris in this one?
Any hobbits in the movie. Don't
even,
ask me if there's
attention.
A Chris in the film in the middle of a Hobbit check.
Sorry. I just like, you know. I wanted to make sure I was doing my due diligence before we even get started.
Yeah.
All right. Celeste and Jeffy.
Yeah. Hobbit check. I'm like, I've called a Hobbit check, and it's you who like is going to answer the call.
I'm pulling my notes together.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Jack.
Yes.
Thank you for calling this like Hobbit's moot.
Yeah.
I'm excited to explore. Well, I have two questions, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm excited to explore. Hobbit check. I would love to see if there's a hobbit in the movie.
Yeah.
I think it would be irresponsible if we didn't at least identify one Chris in the movie.
Okay. All right. Fine. Okay. This hobbit check is paused, unfortunately. And this is so embarrassing. I hate to have to do this in front of this august crowd. It's never happened in the 250 years of doing hobbit checks here in our... I guess the Shire.
Yeah.
but unfortunately, this is extremely unorthodox, but we're going to have to pause the Hobbit check because Tanner here wants to know if there are any Chrises, such as Chris Messina or Chris Pine, in the film.
Chris Pine is in it?
And Messina.
I saw Chris Messina. And there's also a guy called Eric Christian Olsen, which I think counts.
Chris Pine is briefly in the film. I like was looking at my phone. So
blink,
I had to be like,
it?
Is Chris Pine in this? I thought we were, why? I was like three quarters of the way through the film. And I was like, wait a second, that's Andy Samberg. Why are we watching this?
Yeah.
But Chris Pine is in it.
Wow,
look
he's
it up.
Credited as Chris Pino.
What?
K-R-I-S-P-I-N-O. I don't know. It's cool. Chris Pino. He's hiding from us.
That's so sneaky.
He was hiding from us in the film. I don't remember seeing him.
Yeah, I
anyway,
don't remember. Yeah.
Christmasina, handsome guy, who she ends up with, not the man she loves, but
he's
good
great.
Enough.
We should say,
devastating.
This
film.
Is the winter of our Chris content. And I forgot to do a poem again. That was felt like it was going well.
Yeah.
And then I just forgot that
it was
that's
really,
what I do.
The poems were really strong, too. Did I not react enough?
I don't think you reacted. No one reacted. But that's not why I stopped. Okay. I mean, who's to say if people had reacted with like a lot of praise for the poems, I might not have stopped. But I didn't stop because people didn't react, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Great.
Is it okay to call this Hobbit check to order, or should we just abandon
please,
the 250 year tradition of doing a Hobbit check?
Wow, imagine that. I think if we got through an entire Hobbit moot without doing Hobbit check, it would be a pretty clear signal to me.
Yeah.
Signal to me that like Saruman's forces are rising in the East.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Isengard is strong again.
Yeah. So let's come together.
Yeah.
It can't possibly be that the Third Age is coming to a close this soon.
I have noticed that a lot of magic and a lot of the old people are just kind of disappearing from the world in general. Like, where have you seen any elves lately? It just feels like they're all, like, slipping off into the summer lands. Yeah. But this is not an elf check.
Hobbit check. Was there one? Confidently, yes, one.
Yeah.
Looking down the list... How many did you get?
I got one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then yes.
Yeah. Elijah Wood's in the film.
Elijah Wood's in the film.
Yeah.
He's playing sort of a wacky.
He's like a wacky
gay best friend.
Best friend.
Good at being a gay best friend.
And so the whole movie is like subverting.
Serious.
The thing is, the point of the film is it's like very gently subverting all romance, all rom-com tropes, whilst still being a rom-com.
If you want my opinion, I do think you should start dating.
Scott, I'm fine. I have so much time. I'm not worried.
Well, do me a favor and get your fuck on before you meet the next guy.
What is that? What are you doing?
Sorry. I was trying to be your saucy gay friend. Didn't feel good.
No, don't.
All right. So let's say... is it a hobbit?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it a romance?
No. Is it a romance? No.
Yeah. We always ask two questions. Is it a hobbit? In this case, yes. Usually the answer to that is no. And is it a romance? Usually the answer to that is yes. In this case, no. So...
It was too sad to be a romance. It's mostly about a couple going through a divorce.
We haven't said the film. The film begins and they're so in love. And then
revealed. They're like smooching. They're on a date. They have like pet names.
Divorce.
They're doing like intercourse.
And there's like an intervention.
And so now we turn to the menu.
Yes, I think the best idea is to get enchiladas and circles and then we split the two. Yeah.
This is a clinical choice, but I must object to your strategy, for I wish to enjoy the tacos alone.
No, but that is not fair. As long as I can have some bites.
But we know about your bites, don't we? You take one and then you take many.
Yeah.
We can't do this anymore.
Oh, God. Oh, honey, weddings are so stressful, but I promise you, we know you guys will be fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we are fine.
No, we're good.
What the fuck are you two doing?
What do you mean?
Yeah, what do you mean?
What do I mean? You two are not together. It's not normal, okay? You guys have been separated for 6 months. You're getting divorced, all right? And you spend every day together hanging out as if like it's no big deal. Guess what? It's fucking weird.
Their friends are like, this is so weird. You guys have announced that you're divorcing, but like you are acting like you're married. It's an inside out romance because they are basically are slowly breaking up.
Yeah, you sort of think they're going to be back together the whole movie, and then they're not back together, and it's
Yeah, I think it's the really movie would have been better if they just like got back together. But I would have defeated the purpose. People liked it. It's a Criterion Collection. Yeah,
thank you, sir. I'm so glad that we can watch this prestigious film together.
Yeah. I think in the lore, like one of us is sharing it, either sharing it with the other one or failing to share it with the other one.
Can I just like get in your car and talk about how good it is?
I think
can share it with the... What do you call them? Sex
What's
bugs.
Interesting is like the what I had memory hold, and it's like this is the Mandela effect, of course.
Sure.
I had always felt that
government deprogramming.
The
please don't email me about that.
The person who's being asked if they have Grey Poupon wouldn't have Grey Poupon. But in fact, it's the other way around. The person who's being asked if the joke is that they do have Grey Poupon.
I mean, I think in the original, the joke is like, there's Grey Poupon in the car. You know?
That's the joke. And then someone's like, and it's like, oh, so it's like a double joke. It's brilliant. It's like, oh my God, this guy has Grey Poupon in the car. And then like a new character enters and it's like, oh, this whole world, it's super normal to have Grey Poupon in the car. Because the person's, this person who doesn't have Grey Poupon is like, I need to get some.
I agree. I can't like, he's like, almost outraged that his chauffeur like let him go out with Grey Poupon. And he's like embarrassed to have to ask somebody else.
Yeah. That's funny. It's really
It's clearly like an economy of Grey Poupon because the Grey Poupon haver, like the first rich man, is able to like humiliate the other man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Across multiple commercials.
Yeah.
And that's where we are, and that's we've consumed the art house film.
Yeah, that's what it's like watching this movie. It's pretty funny.
It was a really good movie. It was really funny. It's really sad if you're not expecting a sad non-romance when you promised your listeners.
It's funny and not sad and sweet the whole way through, and then it's like kind of bittersweet in the end.
Bittersweet at the end if you're pulling for him. Yeah, and Chris Pino?
Chris Pino's in it, and Chris Messina's in it as the actual secret love interest for what's her name?
Rashida Jones, handsome
girl
guy.
Thanks.
Jack. Mm. Can we do a quick name generator?
Yes, please. Yeah.
What is your Chris Pine name?
Oh, good. Yeah. Let's see. I think it's got to be Jack Sheepo, right?
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And yours is Tangrino.
Like, it's like Tangrino. That sounds delicious.
That sounds like a
Ooh,
refreshing,
sounds like refreshing,
bubbly,
yeah.
like orange.
A tart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sound off in the comments with your Chris Pino name.
All
really
right.
I want to hear him.
What happens in the film? Do we describe the film? We used to in a poem.
Yeah, people didn't like it.
I liked it.
Well, you should have said so. Let's say, real fast, I think we have. It's not one of those films that like bears describing. Like, they're getting divorced because he's like a man boy. What do they call those things?
They
Where
still
it's
live
like
together.
A
they
man
still
is
do,
a boy.
They still do intercourse. I don't know. It's not... It wasn't relatable to me.
Yeah.
They still live together. They still do intercourse, but he's kind of a bum and he's depressed and like doesn't have any leads. She's kind of like coddling him. And then he gets a woman pregnant and moves out and then commits to marrying that woman. And then even though he doesn't like really love her, he really loves Celeste, who's Rashida Jones. They get married and have their baby, and then Rashida Jones meets the other Chris, Chris Messina.
Yeah, and I think like
she learns to stop being a jerk.
Like it seems like she's got herself together, and he's just like a cad. But at the movie, we're watching a turning point where the opposite has happened, where he's becoming a responsible guy, and
she's also
unraveling and needs to like pull herself together.
She designs a logo for Emma. Emma Roberts.
Yeah, and it's a penis in a butt.
I don't see anything.
It's a penis and a butt.
Really? No, I don't see it.
There's a penis and there's a penis going into the butt.
Oh. Oh my god. Oh my god, it's a cock. It's a cock. It's a cock with a butt. Oh my god. It's really bad.
This isn't a joke, Celeste.
There's homosexual butt sex in the logo. Does Riley think we're stupid? I mean, who are these sick people?
Neither Riley nor a representative from Popform, the marketing company responsible, could be reached for...
Can I say that?
I think if you want to bring in the lewd dudes, you can, but I think we'll have to bleep it.
Yeah.
If we want the sponsors to kind of stick around.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, we bleeped that, but it is, it's like a pretty big part of the movie. Oh, I've got a rant. You want to hear a rant?
Signature classic Jack Shepherd rant. Let's hear
it. Yeah, I've got two rants.
Yeah.
For this. Rant number one is my penis in the butt logo rant, if you'd like to hear it.
Please.
It's just this.
It's described as the IZOD for the gay community by a gay man that they bump into.
Excuse me. Can you tell your friend Riley that we
worship her?
Jeez, she's so pretty.
Sure. Tell her when she's done dancing. You are aware that the logo is a...
A dick in a butt?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of our friends are, like, rocking it. It's kind of become, like, gay IZOD. It's
amazing.
Yeah, so I guess basically she's a designer and she designs like a fancy logo for this like hot young starlet who's like a Billie Eilish type.
And Roberts.
Then she accidentally makes it look like a penis in the butt. And
my rant is... she's sort of in the throes of depression, I think, doesn't realize.
Hey, guys. Hey, you young people. You probably don't remember this with your TikToks and your...
Yeah. Yeah, this is getting you hyped up.
Yeah, that's right.
And yeah!
Your what is it? What do they have like
Tamagotchis?
Yeah, you know modern. What did kids do? Fidget spinners,
whippets.
Yeah, but back in my day, we used to be able to entertain ourselves for hours looking at logos that looked like a penis in the butt. Hours at
I made a fucking living off of logos that look like a penis in the butt. 245
logos that look like a penis in the butt, and then everybody has a good time, wholesome time looking at them and having a
fun.
Good chuckle.
It was nice.
Yeah, and that was the
we
whole.
We were all
internet.
Having a good time on the internet back then.
Yeah, and not
look at
anymore.
What the internet is now.
Now it's TikToks and Tamagotchis, and thanks, I guess, for that.
Yeah.
But back in my day, that shit was fucking hilarious, and it apparently. Not good enough for you people.
We're like standing on like the other side of the bridge from the internet. I guess that's podcasts.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there like smoking our cigarettes. We're going to like click it across and just let the whole thing go up.
But that's why this is Criterion Collection. Because it's like something that's like, it's like unrelatable like history. Where it's, if you're watching this as like a teen, you're like, why is there so much made
like
of the fact that the logo looks like a penis in the butt? And it's like, well, actually... Back then, that was all we did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sort of a millennial, like, firm. Like, I was going to ask earlier, what would you say was, like, Gen X's, like, defining rom-com? Sort of subversive rom-com.
Reality Bites.
Reality Bites. I think this is the millennials.
This is the millennials' reality.
It's got, like, it feels like a real 2000. What did this movie even come out?
I think
it feels
like 2010.
It's of its time.
Well, you can date it by the
2012.
Logo that looks like a penis thing. Like
exactly.
That, I probably wrote like 11 articles that were like 15 more logos that look like penises in 2012.
It's a real
people
artifact.
Like, is this guy a fucking genius?
And it'll make you seem really cool and smart, and you can kind of put on like a haughty air for watching it. So,
do you want to hear my other rant while I'm like hyped up? Like I'm in the mood? I'm
we're
like
coming for you, Gen X or Gen Z.
This isn't so much Gen Z, it's just like actors.
Oh, you're going to be so humiliated.
And I guess this is also a PSA for people. Here's a true fact.
This is rich piece of content coming in.
Yeah. This is a true fact. You may not know this. Everyone can tell that your yawn is fake if it's not actually an actual yawn.
Wow. I don't think that's true. And I'm
it is true
to you right now.
It is true. You can't do a fake one. It's this. The other equivalent of it is when people like try to make their hands tremble in movies. And it's like, no, you're shaking your hand. Yeah, that's, well, that looked pretty good. That actually looked pretty good. Did you get a real yawn in there?
No,
you made
fake.
Yourself yawn.
See?
Okay. See? Well, then actors need to do a better job.
This guy's so full of hot air. It's not that hard. You're opening your mouth.
No, it's not that. No, forget it. Forget it. Okay. Forget that rant. But I stand by the penis in the butt thing.
Yeah.
Put it on my gravestone.
There's a whole secondary economy built off penis of the butts. Think of the people you're like
putting out of
food
jobs.
You're taking out of people's mouths.
Yeah. By refusing to engage with that type of content.
All right, we should go take a break.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here. I'm excited to tell you about a little money-making project that Evil Tanner and I are cooking up called Wetter Help. It's basically the same concept as our sponsors, BetterHelp, but we're not going to run into any copyright problems this time because Wetter Help does everything our competitors do, but we do it soggier, damper, and with a 100% moistness guarantee, or your money back. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. But if you want to get absolutely drenched, BetterHelp has literally nothing to offer you. At BetterHelp, we'll spray you down with a hose, steep you for a full half hour in the most sodden, saturated slop we can find, and then throw you in a lake. The only thing BetterHelp can do is find you a therapist to work through your stuff in a way that will help you face the world and practice self-care, all while completely bone dry. If you want to develop self-awareness that helps you build a social life that doesn't drain your battery, or find a healthy balance in your relationships with other people in your life, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime...
Tanner! I just don't think this one works. Tanner!
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/bedfellows. Okay, we're back. We're back. Let's see. I got a couple segments for us.
I didn't identify. I guess we should do Dramatis Personae. We have said almost everyone. Elijah Wood's in it. He's a hobbit. Yeah. I referred to Chris Messina in my notes, throughout my notes, as lead singer of Train.
Okay, sure, why not?
I just put that guy in my head. I think that's why I missed that he was a Chris.
Does he look like the lead singer of Train? Was he the lead singer of Train?
I don't even think so.
Okay. No. Why? So why?
It's like, I think it's like one of those Memory Palace things where it's just like, okay. I'm taking the note now.
Yeah, and
I have, like, I just need to open a drawer and pull something out and put it in the sentence.
He kind of has that, like, positive energy that you get from a Train song.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That's what I mean. I'm trying to help.
Yoga.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like a little fakey at first, but like still pretty charming and a really good looking dude.
It used to be. This is for no one, but it was Michelle Bachmann's presidential campaign song. Was it like Drops of Jupiter?
Yes. I don't think it was.
It was.
I think it was.
Oh, the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, can I do my Jack Shepherd impersonation?
Okay, sure.
You know, actually, in the punk scene in Venice in like the early 90s,
yeah.
Train was pretty like hardcore and cool.
They were actually a hardcore band. You know who that's true of? If you want a real one, is Goo Goo Dolls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
good impersonation of me.
Thank you.
Cut me to the quick because it's like a little bit too accurate.
Is that true of Train?
That is what I sound like. No, it's not true of Train. It's true
it
of
is
me
true of Train.
That I'm like that. It's Train. Not true of Train. No, Bam. Train. No. Please stop.
San Francisco.
Yeah. I would like to share with you a hit segment. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you away. Get out of here.
Oh, great. I have to read this Wikipedia article real quick.
Okay, great. Arbiter Tanner, it's nice to see you. Question.
Hello, Jack. It's nice to see you too. I've seen a lot of you lately.
Yeah. What was going on? I feel like you know, we went to the future to save you for folks who missed that, and like it seemed like everything
I just
was
missed
fine.
You guys. It was so weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you finally got to meet
Arbiter Jack. Yeah, super nice guy.
Nice.
Very
dude.
Cool.
Yeah. Really outstanding.
Good
guy.
Boss.
Yeah.
I see you're distracted. It looks like you're looking something up. Is that what? Because Tanner was looking something up too.
No, I'm just it's actually not. It's like kind of a real shakeup for me when you blip me back like this. So I'm just like making sure like my appliances are all like off and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. No real. I'm just thinking. It's like. You know, I'm from the future. I know a lot about your timeline because it's my past.
Yeah.
I'm thinking a lot about the band Train.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just top of mind for me.
Yeah. It turns out they were never very cool.
Yeah. I just want to say, like, it seems like they were sort of like built, like maybe like a little bit of a built band.
Okay. Kind of put together by the record industry.
And I don't think they were ever really cool.
Yeah. Okay. Got to read between
their,
the lines.
Their first national tour was with Bare Naked Ladies, Hootie and the Blowfish, the Counting Crows.
Like, literally, maybe I'll exclude Counting Crows from this. You could not put together a more lame lineup.
This is the 90s, though, man.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Oh, you know what? It was. It started as a Led Zeppelin cover band called Rogues Gallery.
All right. And guess what? And now I have to tell you that Hootie and the Blowfish started off as an REM cover band because I know that and I have to say it.
Wow. Yeah, and he's in the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yes. Listen, that's not why you're
here.
What
a journey.
A hit segment we have. It's called On the One Hand. It's where we talk about the Rotten Tomatoes reviews of the film. This week we're talking about Celeste and Jesse Forever, and we're going to choose which reviews are good and which reviews are bad. Not in terms of how they rate the film, but in terms of the quality of the review itself. First segment is a segment within a segment called On the One Hand, where we talk about the negative reviews of the film. I've collected a couple for you here. What? Oh, yeah, it sounds like a sequel, doesn't it? Like
Celeste and Jeffy.
Yeah.
Forever.
Oh, that's funny. Like from the Family Circus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bit made it here to the future.
Take that, Jamie. The first review that I've collected for you here is from someone from the Hacker Collective, Anonymous, who gave this film. This is where we talk about the positive reviews of the film. Huh. That's on the one hand. Well, you'd think I'd know that. Yeah. Who gave the film 4.5 stars on April 18th, 2013, with the following review. We, at some point,
Anonymous,
we're there. Yeah, that does sound like something Anonymous would say, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We, at some point, and that's set off with commas, were there.
Were there.
We that's were it? There.
Five yeah. stars?
4.5. Pretty wow. good. Yeah.
Wow.
We, at some point, were there.
Yeah. What do you think they mean?
I don't know. It does where sound like they, part of like We Are Legion, expect us, you know?
Like, the movie takes place in kind of like LA, so it's like maybe they meant like, we were in LA once.
Who's we?
The Hacker Collective Anonymous. You just said it.
All right. Well, maybe this next review will shed some more light on it. It's from someone from the Hacker Collective Anonymous who gave this film 4 stars on October 9th, 2013 with the following review. Eine moderne Harry und Sally Variante, die einfach nur Spaß macht.
I had you up to einfach Spaß macht.
Yeah, so me too.
I was with you.
It just like takes a turn at the Die einfach nur Spaß macht part.
Yeah, what is that? And actually, I'm not. It's like a Prime Directive thing. I'm not allowed to say too much, but.
Okay, you know what it means.
People are not learning German in the future.
Okay.
If you catch my meaning.
I guess so. Okay, well, maybe we'll skip that one. This is a segment within a segment. We're talking about the middling reviews of the films called On the Fence Hand.
Okay, great.
I guess that's maybe German listeners, sound off in the comments. Let us know what that means.
Yeah, and let us know if you want to be conscripted into the Tomorrow War for your country.
Yeah. segment within a segment. It's called On the Fence Hand. This I've only got collected one of these. It's from the Hacker Collective, Anonymous. Who gives this film 3 stars on September 6, 2013. I guess I collected this just because it was so surprisingly mean for a 3-star review.
Oh, okay. You would expect it to be lower.
Yeah. I remember being impressed by the writing.
I wish you didn't tell me the stars so I could like hear it.
Yeah.
You know, just with virgin ears.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a, it's like a open face compliment
sandwich. I'm
going
to try to forget it. I'm going to try to forget the star count.
How do we do an open face compliment sandwich? We like give you a compliment and then we like hit you in the face with the sandwich.
Yeah.
This is like that.
Yeah. Okay.
I remember being impressed by the writing, but not so much with Sandberg's face.
Wow.
What the fuck?
That's really mean.
Yeah, why? He's like a pretty handsome guy.
And that's like him, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's cool that you complimented, I think Rashida Jones wrote
the movie. Rashida Jones wrote the movie, yeah.
It's nice to compliment her writing. That is a skill that she has developed. It's mean to like make fun of someone's appearance. That is not. Also, I think he's like a handsome man and people think he's very handsome.
Yeah, it's really fucked up coming from Anonymous, who looks like fucking Guy Fawkes.
Yeah. show us what's under that mask, Guy Fawkes.
This is a segment within a segment where we talk about the negative reviews of the film. It's called On the Other Hand. The first of these is from the hacker collective Anonymous, who gave this film 0.5 stars on January 30th, 2016. Following
is it like
review.
Mandatory? Do they have to watch it?
I think a lot of members of the hacker collective Anonymous watch this film. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this one was angry about it. He or she says, "This movie is crap. What's with the RT rating? Open your eyes, people."
What do you say? What's the rating?
Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What is the Rotten Tomatoes rating?
70%.
Deserved.
Fresh.
You know what?
Fresh.
I think it could be
a little higher.
A little higher.
I wouldn't get it to 80. I'd put it at 75.
I don't
want
to get on the hacker community's bad side, but I think it could be a little higher.
Yeah, I just like that he said, "Open your eyes, people." It's like, okay, dude, dump down.
Hey, are you arbiting these?
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Reviews, or am I?
Here's a review from someone from the hacker collective Anonymous, who gave this film 0.5 stars on February 6th, 2014. Following review, should have been called Rashida Jones's show. She's not a good actress at all.
Not even a show.
Yeah, I don't think... I have a complaint.
It's confusing
one,
what
she
you said.
She is a good actress.
It's not a show. I think, yeah, I liked her in the movie.
One, she is a good actress. Two, I don't like... There's no circumstance under which this film should have been called Rashida Jones's show. No one would. It would be very confusing for people if the film was called Rashida Jones's show. It's not about Rashida Jones. It's about Celeste.
Can we try to like meet this guy in the middle? Can I like give him the benefit of the doubt for the moment and explore something with you?
Yeah.
I don't know much. I'm from the future.
Mm-hmm.
Society's collapsed. All that.
Yeah.
Is Rashida Jones possibly related to Nora Jones and is like the daughter of a famous musician?
Ravi Shankar?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you know?
I don't. And again, I'm from the future and there's, you know, I don't like my my tech doesn't even like work here. Like I'm on like 18G, you know? Like you think a fucking 5G network's going to work with my tech? I don't think so.
I think that Nora Jones is famously the daughter of Ravi Shankar and Rashida Jones is no relation.
Okay, great.
Okay, and so now continue with your thought.
She is a pretty bad singer.
Yeah, okay.
At what point in the movie she is singing and it's not? She's, I don't know if she's like hamming it up to be intentionally bad, but...
Okay. And also Nora Jones, that's something that like millennials with their TikToks and their Tamagotchis, I mean Gen Z, they don't know about. They don't know about penis logos and they don't know about Nora Jones.
Nora Jones was like a smooth
ubiquitous jazz singer. Like literally inescapable for about a decade.
Okay, her father was American record producer, songwriter, composer, arranger, and film and television producer Quincy Jones.
Okay.
So her father was a famous...
Musician. Okay. And that's also true of Nora Jones, but it's not the same dad.
They also just happen to have the last name, the same last name. There's a lot of famous people with the last name Jones who are good at music.
Yeah, and don't ever say that this is not an educational podcast.
You know who she's married to? That arcade Vampire Weekend guy. So she's also married to a famous musician.
Wow, okay. But bad at singing.
Wow. She can't be talented at everything. You're right. Hey, Hacker Anonymous.
Yeah.
You're right.
You're right.
She can't have it all.
She can't have it all.
Beautiful. Great writing. actress. Like, great acting.
Wonderful. I've got one more negative review for you in this final segment. It's from the Hacker Collective, Anonymous, who gave this film 1 star on June 11th, 2013. Following reviews, strap in for this one.
Okay.
Because it's like a cold blast of air in the face. I dislike watching story about losers. I can only watch for 15 min, then I gave up. Don't like watching when two main actors ain't that good looking and they talk too much. It might be good in the end. I'll have a give it a try next time.
He's going to try again.
Well, and I'm disappointed for him because he's like, well, I do want to watch this again. Because yeah, it might like end happily.
I think just a word of advice. You're not going to get the kisses this week. I'm sorry. But just like, a word of advice for next time, like, come at it with a cooler head. Like,
yeah,
take a breath, take a break.
Don't review angry.
Yeah, don't watch it angry and don't review it angry, because I think, like, that is not how you're going to get my kisses.
Yeah, and like...
And I disagree with you, Frank.
Calling Rashida Jones and Andy Samberg two ugly losers, like, you want to... If you're going to do that, like, you need to, like, come across as an extremely good-looking winner. And this is not, that's not happening when you're angry, when you've seen that angry.
When you're hiding behind the mask.
Yeah. That's it. That's the segment.
I give my kisses to whichever one was the best at.
German?
Yes, the German. And again, apologies for, well, you know, all of Western Europe.
Well, we'll see you later.
All right.
Tanner, did you ever find out about Train?
No, they've got like, I don't know what G they're on in the future, but my phone doesn't work there. So
okay.
I think they were like a punk band.
I've got one more segment for us before we go. Do we feel like we've said enough of the film?
Yeah, go watch it. It's
pretty
good.
It's fun. It's fun. I kind of like dragged a little in the middle.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rashida. He doesn't speak for all of us.
And there's like a recurring, like, how to say this politely, like, wank off bit. That yeah. That offended my sensibility.
A little impolite for you.
I was like a little much, but other than that, pretty. I mean, Andy Samberg, what a charmer.
You'll
Rashida
like
Jones, great. So
you like it.
You know, they're funny together, and they're cute together. Should have ended up together, but it's a film about divorce.
Yeah, it is a film about a couple getting divorced. It's not
let's
a romance.
Fix.
What
are,
speaking
this,
of?
Okay.
Oh, fix this what?
Bridesmaids poem. It's the poem. Purifiers.
Purifiers.
I'm just trying to think of a segment title.
Oh, the poem purifiers.
The poem.
The
poem provers. The poem provers. Do you see what
like,
I'm doing there?
Like we're proofing it?
No, provers. The poem provers.
Oh, poem provers. That's pretty good.
Right?
Hello, we are the poem provers.
Yeah. Poem provers.
My name is, I need a poet name.
Edgar Allan
Tanner,
Poem.
Like, Tanner Tangleberry.
Okay. We went in a different direction. My name's Edgar Allan Poem. we're Tanner Tangleberry and Edgar Allan Poem, the
Welcome
Poem
Welcome to our
provers.
Enchanting new segment, the Poem Provers. There's, Rashida Jones is a, they got funny friends. One of them is potentially Chris, has like BCE.
Big Chris energy. Yeah.
The man of the relationship has BCE.
Yeah.
But there are two friends that are alongside them the whole movie. They're pretty funny. They're like them.
They're funny. The movie kind of has a cold open where it seems like they're a sweet married couple. And then there's a intervention with these friends where they're like, we're sick of you pretending that you're not being divorced. It's really weird. Stop it. And they're very funny throughout. But they get married. There's a wedding.
There is a wedding. And Rashida Jones is one of the bridesmaids and gives a heartfelt speech about how.
But this
she's
is like.
Wreck.
At the height of her unraveling, she's like fully lost it. She wishes she hadn't asked Andy Samberg to divorce her, but he's like pretty committed now to be married to this other woman, which then does end up happening.
Yeah.
It's kind of
good for them. Hey, good for them.
Yeah.
But the others, other bridesmaids.
Yeah. And the other bridesmaids give the first speech and it's like, not good.
So we're going to improve it.
it's the standard bridesmaids speech where they're both like, they've written a
round robin poem.
Yeah. So I'll just say the poem, and I guess what listeners will hear is the clip that I will have grudgingly pulled. Does anyone want to know how much of a pain in the fucking ass it is to pull clips? Is anyone interested?
Easy. So impossibly easy.
It's such a pain in the ass.
So easy.
It's not easy. It's such a fucking
do screen
slog.
Flick.
Slog. No, I know how to do it. I do it every week.
Yeah.
Maybe I pull too many clips.
Maybe yeah. I would love to just like John Malkovich you at some point and understand like what you're.
It's finding the moment.
I bet it's like
in the film.
Wreck.
I hate you. You know? Here's the clip. Just know how much like how annoyed I was having to find this.
Great.
For girl number one says.
She pursued her love of Spanish men, but missed her Tucker more than just a friend.
And then girl number two says.
Our princess returned home to her loving prince, and they've been together ever since.
We love you, Peppy.
All right.
So it sucks shit.
What we know. Well, yeah. I guess it does suck shit. It's a bad poem, but we can mine some data out of it.
Yeah.
She went away to Spain and found
fucked
herself,
a bunch of Spanish guys.
Sexually. Yeah.
And so here's what I know, and here's as far as I've gotten just looking at this now. She went away to Spain and fucked a bunch of Spanish guys, and the guy's name rhymes with the swear word that I've already said.
Okay.
So.
Right. That's the
useful
I was gonna say
is poem.
I don't think most poems are just two lines, so I imagine like it kind of cuts mid poem.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we want to like add more backfill.
Yeah, and I think one thing we can do, like normally I would want to like match the scansion, but that's the thing that I hated the most about this poem is that it doesn't scan. And I don't understand why people have so much trouble making a poem scan. It's not rocket science.
You know, I think Jack, this is just you not realizing how valuable your creativity is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I call that expertise bias.
Yeah.
I've made it up. It's when, like, when you're really good at something, you discount the value of it.
I don't think you realize how all those years at St. Andrews, like, practicing poetry.
Yeah, it just comes easy to me.
Yeah.
She pursued her love of Spanish men. So I want to end this. What I'm saying to you is I want to end this with the word fucker.
Wow. Oof. That is hard for me to hear as a poet.
Let me throw this out. 100 Spanish men did fuck her.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all. We're building on that.
It's a pretty good place to start. It's setting us up really good.
It sort of has like the like cadence of like a sea shanty right now or like a limerick. Like 100 Spanish men did fuck her. And then like,
what about
before she like came home to her Tucker?
I think we put the knife in a little further and say something like, and not, I need another syllable in it to get it to scan, but it's something like, and not a one was named Tucker.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, we could just put a stress on that E. It's kind of poetic and say named, and that'll be fine.
I'm sort of like, now that I'm thinking about it a little bit more critically.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if we should be mentioning the fucking the Spanish guys at all at her wedding.
Well, but I understand that, but they did that. We have to keep within the mandate.
Okay, right.
The girls have said that. They said it different.
Yeah.
But that's because they're bad at poems. We're taking what they've given us.
Right. Okay.
We can't like deviate. We can't like make up something about this woman.
All right. You're right.
So are you happy with that as a second line?
Yeah, I think so. And then I guess we should maybe clarify that, like, we celebrate her for, you know, kind of discovering herself sexually.
Let's see. She pursued her love of Spanish men. Yeah, I guess that's in the text.
Yeah.
What about we celebrate the Spanish fucking? Maybe that, you know what? I think rule of comedy, you surprise them with the fucking. Like, you don't lead with that. So can you have something that rhymes with fucking for me, please?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Cucking?
No. yeah. yeah. I've got something for that, but I kind of don't want to have that word in my poem.
Sucking.
Let's
yucking.
See.
Yucking. Yums that I'm yucking.
Oh, there we go.
Or yucker? Yucking?
Okay, what about this? And lest you feel her yums. I've got it. And lest you feel her yums, we're yucking.
Great.
We celebrate this Spanish fucking.
That's great. So read me the full.
So far. I mean, well, we got to have.
How
we're
many
doing,
couplets do you
we're
want?
Doing two couplets for each one couplet they did. We've expanded it out. So now we need to do what girl two says. And then we can actually read it, do a dramatic reading. I can be girl one and you can be girl two if you'd like. Or I'm happy to
no,
do it the other
fine.
Way around.
I don't want to commit to either girl right now.
Okay. They're not really differentiated.
I don't want to commit. Stop.
In the movie.
I don't,
okay.
Stop pressuring me.
Okay. Okay, so here's what girl two says. And it's, again, really doesn't fucking scan. And our princess returned home to her loving prince, and they've been together ever since.
Yeah, that's bad. And that's Tucker?
That's Tucker.
And we didn't, did we mention Tucker?
We've mentioned Tucker, yeah. But so far, kind of only, and I hate to say it this way, like, but in relation to, like, a cucking of sorts.
Ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good on the show.
No, it doesn't come out nice. There's no way to make it come out nice.
All right, so we should, I guess, I don't want that to be the...
I don't want that to be the headline.
I think it would
and we
be
wanna...
weird if there wasn't a flavor of that, but I don't want it to be the headline.
No, so, but that's, this is, we've got an opportunity here to like, put Tucker in, like, a better light.
Oh, yeah, so it could be, like, do we need it to rhyme with since and...
We don't need it to rhyme with, no, we don't
Go
need to rhyme. Their rhymes suck shit. Like, maybe we can keep the prince and princess, like the royalty aspect
of thinking.
Things.
I want to find a rhyme with like, that ends with, I want to end it on satisfy her. Because I want to like turn it around and be like, despite the fact that she went to Spain go like sow her sexual oats.
Yeah.
She's come back and found satisfaction with him. Imagine how like hung and virile he is.
And Tucker is no caddish liar.
Tiffy her. Tiffy her. That's find me what, something that rhymes exactly
I just said it.
With every syllable.
I just said it.
Not a slant rhyme. With tiffy her. So fire?
Fire is pretty good. Spanish fire.
Come on, we're poets.
Spanish fire. Spanish is good. And once she tired of Spanish fire...
Only
she found
her
a blank to a prince her. To satisfy her. That's pretty good. I think that's good. I'm gonna
well,
put that
I
in.
I think we have to refer to her as a princess. It's weird to refer to
well,
her.
Well, we've
as
got
a
another
princess.
Couplet now because we're doing two couplets for their one.
Okay, okay.
This is great. It's thematically consistent.
Okay.
Okay. So, something we've left out the two pieces of facts that we've left out is that when she was in Spain, and we've got to do this in one couplet, when she was in Spain, she missed Tucker.
Oh, yeah.
And then also, they since they got back together, they have remained together.
Right by her.
What do you want
by her? With satisfying.
We don't need want
Spanish
that anymore.
Fire.
In fact,
oh, we're done with that?
Yeah, we're done with that.
Okay.
Yeah. We're
so
changing
we have
it
to
new couplet.
It's going to feel. Okay. Yeah. And we want it to actually feel like a good sonically with fire.
And we need to convey that she's a princess.
Well, let's just do that as the rhyme then.
Okay.
Princess.
Okay, hang on, I've got it.
I can only think of one word that rhymes with princess.
Oh, I've got something kind of beautiful that's coming to me.
Okay.
Hmm.
And though overseas she was himless, she dreamed of becoming his princess. Do you know what I mean by himless?
Hang on, I have to say it.
Skinless.
I got to say it. And I want to preemptively say that skinless probably shouldn't be in our rhyme. Okay, what about this? In this rhyme, you just have to like, I'm talking about the coast of Spain. So how about this? They fucked her up and down the coast, but Tucker now, he fucks her most.
Wow, that's pretty nice. It's still pretty much, it's like all about this. I guess that's all really we had.
Yeah.
So that's yeah, I think that's
what
great.
Was your thing with skinless?
I don't know. Maybe like the Spanish men, they fucked her skinless.
Yeah, I don't love that.
All right.
So do you want to be girl one or girl two?
Girl. Oh, Jesus, it's time, huh? Two. I need the script.
Okay, I'll send you the script. And then do we want to, I'll just put some Wang on it. We'll put like some like wedding. Oh, God, I hope I've texted you this. Okay,
yeah,
thank God.
That's me.
I just like literally pasted it into the first like text window head open. I was like, it could have been like my kid's like kindergarten teacher, you know? I never would live it down.
Hacked.
Oh, thank God that was you. Yeah, I've been hacked. okay, so, all right. Clink, clink, clink. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much
for everyone.
Coming to the wedding of our dear sister and friend.
Nope. Yeah.
College
it's so nice
friend.
To be here. I'm not sure why they asked us to come up and do this together.
We've done it in the form of a poem for you that we wrote, that we kind of slaved over.
Yeah.
And I'll start. I'll go first, okay? Because I am girl one. 100 Spanish men did fuck her, and not a one was named Tucker. Unless you feel her yums, we're yucking. We celebrate this Spanish fucking.
And once she tired of Spanish fire, she found a prince to satisfy her. They fucked her up and down the coast, but Tucker now, he fucks her most.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for today. It's
really
pretty
good
beautiful
poem.
Yeah. You know, and it says the same shit they said, but better.
Yeah. And we'll do that for you. If you want us to write you a poem for your wedding, we'll do that.
Yeah, it's going to cost you five figures.
Yeah.
Guess what? Time to go. I would like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me. I'd like to thank the Bug Babies, Bee Babies, Sex Pots,
Bee Pods,
Bed Bugs,
Sex Bugs,
and Baby Nation so very much for bearing with us. We love and kiss you all day. And guess what else? It's time to go. Oh, shit. Yeah, it's time to go. And we have to say what we watched first, right? Yes, this week we watched film.
Celeste and Jeffy Forever.
Celeste and Jeffy Forever. Next week, we're going to be watching something with a Chris in it.
Oh, God. Crispin Glover?
Men in Black International? Ghostbusters Answer the Call?
What are you saying? These are movies? It's got to be a romance, Jack. I can't believe you like
Bridesmaids.
Fainted on the romance. Yes, Bridesmaids.
Okay. It's a real
Chris O'Dowd. One of my faves.
One of my very faves. Oh, you know what else is supposed to be good? Something called The Incredible Jessica James.
Woo! There it is. Is it romance? Don't fuck with me, Jack.
I think so. I just need to make sure that Chris O'Dowd is in it. Yeah, I think that's... Yeah, Chris O'Dowd is in it. All right, that's what we're watching. We're watching The Incredible Jessica James. Looks pretty good.
Can't wait.
All that remains now is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And I hope you, Celeste...
Oh, I was also... Sorry, I was also Arbiter Tanner, and I was also played the part of Tanner...
That's who you actually are.
What was my name? Tanner Tangleberry.
Tanner Tangleberry. Yeah, and I played the part of Edgar Allan Poem. And we had an actor do the Great Poupon guy. The other Great Poupon guy.
Yeah.
My name's Jack Shepard.
Tanner Greenring.
I have to take a real run up to this one. I hope you, and I hope you, Celeste, your and Jesse ever after. I just didn't have a lot of time.
I don't even understand what the approach was. Celeste and Jesse. Oh, no, I see. Happily as Jesse.
Yeah, I hope you, Celeste, your and Jesse ever after.
Happily and Jesse.
Yep, I hope you, Celeste, your and Jesse ever
bad,
after.
Bad, poor, weak. Let's go. Might be childhood friends.